Amen. Appreciate the message that's gone before us this morning. Kenneth was talking about how that keeps coming up. Well, there's a good reason for that. We need it. We need those reminders on a regular basis. So I pray the Lord will bless these things to sink down in our ears and find a lodging place in our heart and bring forth much fruit in the days ahead. Got a question for you. Does God care for his children? You might be saying, sure, preacher, we know that. He does care. Okay. Are you his child? Does he care for you? Will he provide for your needs? Will he help you in your problems? Will he help you in your trials? Will he help you in the burdens that you carry? Will he be there for you? You know, we stumble at that sometimes, don't we? We know God's good. We know he's all powerful. We know he knows all things. We know he knows exactly what we need. But sometimes we feel like that I'm not sure he'd do that for me. Been there? I want to notice some examples of God's care for his people in particular times of trouble and trial. And hang in there with me. I want to read a few verses. This is an Old Testament passage that you might not have heard lately. Maybe you've read it, but maybe you didn't. It's in 2 Kings. 2 Kings is a hard book to read. There's a lot of things in there you just want to skip over, with the warring and the killing and a lot of the things that happens during the times of the kings. But I want to notice a particular passage. You'll find it in 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. During the time of the prophet Elisha. Not Elijah. Elijah was his predecessor. Elisha came in after Elijah. And he also was a powerful prophet of the Lord. But I want to read, I don't want to take too much time in reading, but I want to read this because of you cannot improve on the Word of God. So 2 Kings chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. Verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. You see what's happened? The prophet has warned God's people that their enemy is in a certain place. Don't go there. That sound familiar? God does that a lot, doesn't he? He tells us there's some places, don't go. Don't do that. There's trouble. All right? So he says, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. In other words, this happened several times. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, he thought that there was somebody in his close proximity that was telling the king of Israel where they were and giving up their secrets. Okay? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. How about that? Right over there. All right. Can you imagine the perplexity of this king? He's trying to get an advantage over the children of Israel. And every time he makes a move, God sends word from one of his prophets to tell them and warn them where they're at, so he can't be effective against them. You know, I want you to take this and look at a bigger picture here. Isn't this the way God works with his people? He knows where our troubles are. He knows where our perils lie. And we have his Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. He watches over us and helps us against those kinds of problems that can arise in our life. Okay? So that's part of what I love about the Old Testament. It gives us real life example. This is not just a story. This is something that literally happened. And it's a way that God protected his people in the past, and he did it through his prophet. There again, there's another hint in listening to the word that's preached to us. Maybe there's a warning. You know, maybe there's a reminder of some things that maybe we've not practiced as much as we should, or to the extent that we should. And it would be better for us if we take heed and listen to those things. So here was a situation. The enemy was coming, and the Lord warned his people through his servant, and the enemy found out that it was because of the servant of the Lord, and so the enemy is going to go visit the servant of the Lord. If Elisha's the one that's telling them all of his secrets, then they're going to go pay a visit to Elisha. All right? Now, so they went to Dothan. All right? Verse 14. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. Think about this. He sent a great host here to one servant of the Lord. Well, there's a good reason for that. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Can you hear the fear in this man? This servant of the prophet? Alas, master, we're surrounded. What are we going to do? Well, pause right there. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a situation where you wonder, what am I going to do? How am I going to deal with this? You know, sometimes, like Brother Kenneth said, life's not always straightforward. Sometimes it's up and down. You know, it reminded me of a little chart I saw one time. It says, you know, my plan, and it shows a straight line. And then it says God's plan, and it's, you know, it's like this. And we have to go through those seasons of life. We have to go through those challenges. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Well, guess what? If he said you're going to have it, you're going to have it. All right? And there's no way around it. But he also said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if we're going to have the tribulations, and if we're going to have the Lord with us, then that helps us, doesn't it? That encourages us to know that at least while we're going through it, we can have the presence of the Lord with us, helping us. All right? So whatever the trouble might be, the Lord is there with us. Now, yes, there's times we get stubborn. There's times when we forget. There's times when we kind of leave things off and kind of maybe we're not going in the right direction, or maybe we're not doing exactly what we should be. And the Lord has a way of dealing with us in those times. He calls it chastening. Another word for that is discipline. Just like when our children don't do exactly what they need to be doing, sometimes we need to give them a little nudge, and sometimes a little harder nudge, you know. All right? But the point is, because we love them, we want to help them to get back into the right way. All right? Sometimes we do the right thing, sometimes we don't. But God always does what's right. He knows exactly what we need. All right? And so if we happen to be out of the way, there may be some discipline involved here before we can get back to feeling like he's right there with us and helping us in our trouble. But it's all part of a bigger picture. And so that's why we need to be serving the Lord and seeking his face each day and his loving counsel, so that our decisions will be based upon the leadership of his spirit and what's good and what's right in his eyes, instead of what's right in our eyes and what we want to do. Okay? All right, so we have a situation here where the enemies come against the servant of the Lord. His servant goes out, he sees that they're surrounded, and he says, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" Well, that sounds like a pretty hopeless, in the eyes of men, that sounds like a pretty hopeless situation. He's surrounded by a great host. And these are soldiers. They're not just people. They're soldiers. All right? So the odds are greatly against them. I mean, you can understand the concern of this man that went out and saw that they're surrounded, and they're surrounded by the enemy. What shall we do? Do you know what Elisha says? Fear not. I'm sure that just set the servants at perfect ease. No, it didn't. All right? No, it didn't. But Elisha, the man of God, the man who had the information that was able to keep the children of Israel, the northern kingdom there in Samaria, it was what was needed to save them from the advances of this enemy already several times. And now he simply tells this servant, "Fear not." Now let me pause right here again. We've heard this "fear not" a number of times in Scripture, haven't we? Do you remember? Let's go back to Exodus chapter 14. When the children of Israel had been delivered out of Egypt, and they came up to the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was pursuing them. Another time when you could say, in a sense, they were surrounded. In other words, they had the sea before them, and they had the Egyptian army behind them, and they had nowhere to go. And do you remember what Moses was told to tell them? "Fear you not." I think I'm starting to see a pattern here. "Fear ye not, stand still." You know, sometimes it's an effort to get folks to stand still. But he said, and you can imagine what they were panicking. They were being pursued by the enemy. They didn't have anywhere to go, and they were panicking. And the Lord says, "Fear ye not, stand still and see." Which tells me if we're fearful, and if we're not standing still, we're probably going to miss it. We're not going to see it like we should. Stand ye still. Now, fear not. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. God didn't bring them out of Egypt just so they could be destroyed by the Egyptians. Think about it. And the reason I emphasize that is because when we're facing trouble and when we're like this servant that says, "Alas, master, what should we do?" We need to stand still. We need to think about what we know. God loves us. And God has gone to great lengths to save us. And he's gone to great lengths to show us his love. And he's gone to great lengths to manifest that love every time. And so when we think about when we're facing trouble, We need to remember sometimes that God's people in His Word have faced some troubles and the answers that they received that helped them in their distress. And so what we find is the children of Israel, they were told to fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And I want to read, because this was not a spur of the moment thing. All right? Let's go back to Exodus 14. I want to read a little bit about what was told them. Exodus 14, I begin in verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. All right? For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. God's going to destroy the enemy. All right? Listen, he's not finished. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Okay? So not only were they told to stand ye, fear not, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord, they were also told the Lord is going to fight for you. And he can handle this enemy. So when we're facing something in our life that's a trouble to us and a great concern to us, we need to turn to the Lord and see the salvation he has for us. All right? Just like the children of Israel then, he didn't bring them out of Egypt just so he could destroy them in the wilderness. Those people charged him with that. They said, look, that's what you did. All right? But God delivered them, and he intended to deliver them. This was no surprise to him. You're not going to surprise God with anything. All right? Okay. So that was at the Red Sea. All right? In Deuteronomy 31, I'm not going to take time to turn to it, but again, Moses is telling the children of Israel in some of his last words that they were going to go in, they were going to inhabit the land, they were going to drive out the enemies, and he told them, fear ye not. Why? Because the Lord was going to drive them out before them. The Lord was going to fight their battle. All right? That's good reason for us to then take courage. And he told them, and Moses told them, and Joshua would tell them later, be strong and of a good courage. Okay? God told that to Joshua, and he in turn told that to the people. Be strong and of a good courage. All right? So that was the Red Sea. That was some of Moses' last words in Isaiah 43. Isaiah in prophecies telling the people of Israel, fear not, okay, when thou passest through the waters, you know, I'll be with you. And all those things that he said there in Isaiah 43, the point is fear not, because he will be with us. All right? He's promised that to his children. All right? And let's grab a New Testament example. Remember when the disciples were in the ship and the great storm arose and Jesus was down in the ship on a pillow asleep? Remember that? I hope you do. We've talked about that a lot here, all right? When they went to him, they said, Master, in great haste now, Master, carest thou not that we perish? All right? Well, he didn't say fear not at that point, but what he did say is, why are ye so fearful? He also, in one of the other accounts of that, says, where is your faith? And the other one, another one said, you know, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? I think that's the issue, isn't it? Faith. Where was their faith? Why did they have little faith? They had every reason to have great faith. They had every reason to be trusting Jesus. All right? So, all right, I've given you several examples here. So let's come back to our text. All right? And in our text, we'll find that here is one more powerful example of God caring for his people and delivering them and providing that for them without them even having to fight. All right? So where I left off here in this story back in 2 Kings chapter 6, excuse me, 2 Kings chapter 6, where we left off was Elisha said, "Fear not." Okay? But I'm sure that didn't satisfy the servant yet. All right? So listen to what else he says. All right? In verse 16, he answered, this is Elisha, "Fear not." But now listen to what he says. "For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Well, we already know that there was a great host of the Syrians. They had surrounded the city. They had horses and chariots. These were soldiers. They were accustomed to war. And they surrounded them. And this servant had looked out and he saw that they were completely surrounded. And I guess if he did a little quick math here, he probably looked at all of those soldiers surrounding them and he counted me and Elisha, and how in the world can that be more than there are with them? You know, by the way, not long ago when I was reading this, I zeroed in on something that I was misquoting something. just out of memory, I was saying, you know, there's more that be for us than be for them. That's not what it says. You could be for something without being right there with them. There's more that be with us, this says. It's not just about, you know, you got to go to Romans chapter 8 when it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And we take great comfort in that. But this says even more than that. This says there are more that be with us than be with them. And so the prophet prayed that the Lord would open his eyes. And what did he see? You've read this before. You know what happened, don't you? The mountains were full of angels and chariots of fire. The mountains were full of those angels. Do you think they had protection? I mean, when God opened this man's eyes and he was able to see, yes, there are more with us than with them. But you know what's interesting? It wasn't the angels that took care of this situation. But it was important for this man to see the help that they had. Do you know, we have several verses of scripture. You can go to Psalm 91, I believe it's verse 11, where God speaks about his angels having charge over us. You can go through the accounts of the gospel and you can see there were times when the angels came and ministered to Jesus. They're in the Garden of Gethsemane when Peter drew a sword and cut off Malchus's ear, and Jesus said, "Put up your sword. Don't you know that I can call upon my Father and he'll presently send me 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled?" The point is, those angels are available to us. And it's not just those Old Testament saints. Jesus showed us that in the New Testament, they're still available. That help that we need is still right there with us. It's there for us. And bless your hearts, we should remember that and help us in our times of concern and maybe even fear. There's times when, you know, something's facing us and we don't know what to do. or we get some bad news and we don't know what to do, or we've got to make a decision about something and we don't know what to do. But God does. Call upon Him. Remind yourself that He gives us the help that we need when we need it. All right? And so as we think about this illustration, this Old Testament passage, and tells us what happened there, the servant simply prayed, "Lord, open his eyes." And my message to us today is, when you don't know what to do, God does. And He's the one that we can look to, and He's the one that we need to call upon and ask Him to show us what we need to do. He's got all the help we need. All right, so let's listen how this turned out. Elijah told the men, "For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. They're there. And I believe they're there today. They're there for us today. And I'm satisfied from what I've, not only from what I've read in the scriptures and what I've experienced in life, I am satisfied that God has saved us from many perils that we don't know anything about. There are times when things happen in our life and we stop and realize, wow, that could have been really bad. Well, it probably wasn't really bad because God prevented something. I just know that He does that for us. He does. Why would He do that for us? Because He loves us. Because He wants to take care of us. Because He watches over. Now, problems happen. We have struggles in life. We have difficulties. But bless your hearts, when we think about God and all that He's able to do, okay, He's watching over us, and that help is available. All right? So let's keep reading. "And when they came down to him," that is the Syrian army, "came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." So this army that was come against Elisha, the whole army is smitten with blindness. Now it's going to be temporary, but it was going to be as long as it was needed. Okay? So he smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom ye seek." But he led them to Samaria. Do you know what's in Samaria? The king of Israel and the army of Israel. And so he led that host of people, of the Syrians that came against him, he led them right into the middle of the king of Israel and their army. All right? "And it came to pass, when they were come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men." So he opened the eyes of the servant so the servant could see the help that they had. Now, after they've been smitten with blindness, he prays, open the eyes of this enemy, all right? "Open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" In other words, do I need to destroy them? "And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword, with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel." God gave them a great deliverance there. And you see, it was by the power of God. They didn't have to raise a sword. They didn't have to fight. Isn't that what the Lord told them, the children of Israel back on at the Red Sea? You shall not have to fight. The Lord was going to destroy them. Isn't it much better when we depend upon the Lord and ask Him to take care of the situation? See, He's well able to do that. And so when we think about those people, the children of Israel did not have to fight in that situation, but the Lord delivered them from it. And the way the Lord delivered them, then they enjoyed peace for a long time. If they had fought and destroyed those men, there'd have been other bands that would have been sent to them, and they'd have had to fight again, all right? But you see, when they followed what the Lord said, they enjoyed peace. I think there's a message in that, don't you? If we follow what the Lord says, if we do what the Lord says, bless your heart, that's the most peace that we can find in this life. I'm not saying you're not going to have any problems. I'm saying the most peace that you'll be able to find in this life is to be doing the will of God. And by the way, there's every indication that Elisha and his servant was in the will of God when this enemy came against them. And so the Lord delivered them in their trouble. All right? Now, I've given you this. I've given you several other examples along the way of God taking care of His people. Do you think He still does that today? I mean, we're talking about God watching over, knowing what was needed, and providing the help that was needed by His people. Does God care for us today?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But let's bring it to another focus for just a few minutes. Does Jesus care? You see, God cared so much that He sent His only begotten Son. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that He gave Him His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Right? Romans 8 says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? So God loved us so much that He gave us His Son. But does His Son care? We sing a song sometimes, does Jesus care? Well, I find in John chapter 15, and I believe it's verse 9, where Jesus said, as the Father hath loved Me, so have I loved you. That tells me, Jesus cares. We know He cares, all right? And so we find that He said, as the Father hath loved Me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in My love. And so when we stop and think about who we are, we're the children of God. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ, not only as our Lord and Savior, the scripture speaks of Him as our elder brother. He also speaks of Him in terms of the church as the husband of the church, one that would provide, one that would protect, one that would take care of. So when you look at the scriptures and you see what's contained in it, you find that there's every reason in the world for us to trust that God will watch over us and He will provide what is needed for us while we go through this life. That's not a promise. Again, I keep saying this because I keep making sure we understand. That's not a promise that we don't ever have any trouble, but it is a promise that He will be there for us. Because the ultimate deliverance that we get from Him, that we have from Him, that cannot be separated from us, is that when He sent His Son to this world to suffer and die to redeem us from our sins, bless your hearts, He purchased us a place in heaven. We'll be with Him in glory. And so there's a lot of people that have met with tragedy in this world. But bless your hearts. If they're God's people, they're safe with Him in glory. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So sometimes we need to pray that our eyes would be opened. And I'm talking about God's people, you know. I'm talking about God's people who know Him, who love Him. As we're going through this life, sometimes we get busy, sometimes we get distracted, sometimes things come along our way, and we just need to stop, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, and we might just have to pray, Lord, open my eyes and help me to see the things that you've already done for me. That means you might have to look back and see, just like David looked back in Psalm 23, what is it, verse 5 or 6, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We need to remind ourselves, our eyes need to be open to what God has already done for us and what he has already promised us in his word. And if we don't know what those promises are, that's a clue that you need to go read it. We need to spend more time in it. Because there are many precious promises God has made. May God open our eyes to who He is and what He's done for us and what He's doing for us each day and what He's promised that He will continue to do for us even until the time that we're with Him in glory. So that servant, when he saw the great problem that they were in, he said, alas, Master, what shall we do? When you come to that place in life, I hope you'll turn to the Lord. I hope you'll turn to God and say, Lord, I need you. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I need you above everything else. That's what Elisha did. He asked for the Lord to open his eyes to see the help that they had. Bless your hearts, we've got that same help today. May God help us, that our eyes would be open to the help that God will give us in whatever trouble or trial we face. You might not be facing something particularly right now, but you might need it next week. You might need it a month from now. I pray the Lord will bless us, that these words and these lessons will sink down in our ears and find a lodging place in our heart, and that we may receive strength from it in the days ahead, and if need be, use it. So that we can prove that, yes, he loves us and we love him too. And we want to follow him. And we want to be able to see those things, the help that we have in this life. May God bless you. That's our prayer.